we left off in the previous year, introducing the concept of what's called Shalova in a Bershuso, continuing our theme of different sugyas related to Bailas, who's considered to be an owner of any given property. So we said that there's a concept in Halacha called something belonging to me. Technically, I'm the owner, but it's Eina Bershusi. And since it's Eina Bershusi, so that limits what I'm permitted, what I'm able to do with the item. Something which is Shalova in a Bershuso, I can't sell, I can't be Maktish, I can't be Mafke, I can't give it a Matana. Basically can't transfer ownership on something which is Shalivi Eina Bishusi. The question is, what exactly constitutes Shalivi Eina Bishusi? The Gemara gives only one example, that's the problem. One example the Gemara gives is Gezel. If somebody steals something from me, let's say Reuven steals from Shimon, so the item doesn't belong to Reuven, but the item still belongs to Shimon, technically it's still Shalom, but it's Eina Bishusa, that he doesn't have the ability to be Makdish that item. So we showed him at a major machlekes, what is it about Gezela that makes it Eina Bishusa? So the Baal HaMor seemed to understand that Eina Bishusa is defined as a lack of accessibility, lack of control. That's why the Baal HaMor was Machadish, that if the Gazan is willing to return it, even though he hasn't returned it yet, he's merely called to inform that he's willing to return it. That already makes it into back at the Rishuso of the Nigzel. And the Ramban disagreed. The Ramban says, no, it's not a question of control, accessibility. It's a halacha category. The halacha category is a kinyan gazela. Since the gazlan has a certain kinyan, has a certain achrayas, has a certain monetary relationship with the item that he stole, it's that kinyan gazela that's mafkia, the Rishuso of the Nigzel. And therefore, the Ramban argues that there's nothing that can undo that kinyan gazela short of returning the object itself. So, machlokes b'alamon the Ramban, what is it about gazela that makes it a b'shusa? So we spoke a little last year about different possibilities of nafkaminas ladina that emanate from that machlokes b'alamon the Ramban. So, I want to continue along with those that line of reasoning to other situations where something may or may not qualify as being in a b'shusa, depending upon one's definition of eino or b'shusa. And just as we've been trying to do over the last couple of weeks to try to show how these issues in Dina Mamunas are not just Cheshem Mishpat issues, that in and of itself would be important, just not Cheshem Mishpat, but these issues of Cheshem Mishpat impact on Orachaim and Yerden of an Ezra on areas of Shulchan Aruch, which are Nogei in terms of Issev Heter as well. So the definition of eino b'shusa is going to become critical for us in understanding its application to many, many areas of halacha. There is a very difficult Rambam, where the Rambam has a comment in Hilchos Nedarim concerning the halachas of Hefker. So that statement in of itself should already be problematic. Why in the world the Rambam puts Hilchos Hefker into Hilchos Nedarim? Nedarim defker. Neder means you take a neder, you're not going to eat any bread, you're not going to eat any meat, any fruit. What does that have to do with being mafkir property? So that in and of itself is raises an eyebrow about what the Rambam's understanding of hefker is all about. But the Rambam goes further. The Rambam writes that hefker is harayu b'chlal ha-nedarim v'asa l'achsavay. Just as when a person takes a neder, so the Torah says they're not allowed to back out. Lo yachal devaro, they're not allowed to change the word. So to the Rambam says, when a person declares something to be hefker, he's not allowed to back out. So if I'm mafkir my car, and then I say, no, I'm just kidding. I don't want to be mafkir. I don't want anyone to take it anymore. So you're not allowed to do that. If you want to go ahead and be rizocha on it, that's okay. Then I'm not being meichel devaro. I'm not changing what I said. I'm giving myself the same rights and opportunities as anybody else. But if I want to go ahead and back out from what I said, so the Rambam says you're not supposed to do that. Hareze b'chlal hanadarim v'osu lach saboy. So the Ktzois has a comment on the Rambam. He says a very, very strange Rambam. As I'm talking about from left field, that the reason why you can't back out from Hefker is because that would be changing your words. You would be a liar. You'd be calling you a shachman for backing out from Hefker. So the Ktzais, you made a chamlais Hefker. It's like, if I would sell you a car, would anybody say the reason why I can't back out from the sale? The sale's over already. I gave you the car, you're driving the car for the last week. Would anybody say, oh, I'm not allowed to back out from the sale because I'm a liar or a backup sale? Well, it's not as that. A liar is what we call you when we can't call you anything else. When we can't say there's any other reason why you can't back out, then we call you a liar. But here, when I sold the car, so there was a change in Cheshem Mishpat. I gave up my rights. I gave up my bailus on the car. It now belongs to you. So what do you mean I can't back out? Of course I can't back out. It's not the yadi to back out. It's a Cheshem Mishpat prevents me from backing out. So he asks the Ktzais, how come the Rambam formulates the Dinim Hefker? The Rambam says that the reason why you can't back out from Hefker is because of a reason of Issa the Heter, because it's a violation of Pashas Matas of Lo Yachal Devaro. Typically, the reason why you can't back out is because the Kinyan of Hefker is too Dibur. In the same way, you can't back out from Mechira on a car because the Kinyan was accomplished through Meshicha. You can't back out from Hefker because the Kinyan, the transfer of ownership, took place through Dibur. So what is the Ram coming from left field to tell you? You can't back out because of a Dibur. So says the Ktos, You see from this Rambam, a tremendous chiddush. You see from this Rambam that hefker doesn't really change ownership. When a mafker something, it's not a hakno. It's not like I transferred bialus to the other individual. I'm still the bialus. It's still considered to be mine. Now what? The Torah says that there's an isra chazorah. So since the Torah says there's an isra chazorah, the mela, I'm not going to back out. So it's still mine. It's still shali. The item, the car that I was mafker still belongs to me. It's just I'm not allowed to back out from it. Once the other person picks it up, then the transfer of ownership takes place. Then it becomes nichnas l'rishuso. So I thought that what hefker means is once I'm mafker it, so it chashi mishpat is no longer mine, and then b'meila when the other person picks up, it becomes his. So it says no. There aren't two steps. It's not that it leaves my rishus chashi mishpat through the dibur itself, and then it becomes his through the zechiyah ben hefker. It's not true. There's one change in chashi mishpat. That's when he picks it up. Kolzman that I haven't yet. Kolzman the other person hasn't picked it up yet. It's still considered to be shali. Famous word for the ktsais b'das ram. So that's what the ram came onto the idea of also lachzaboy because the taka. That's the only reason. There's nothing in chashim mishpat that's preventing me from backing out from the hefker. So I kind of not totally that kind of ktsais, but that's the basic words of the ktsais in terms of the b'yashid the ram. So comes the Ktzos and says, wait a second, that's true. So then that l'chor will impact on Arachayim and Yerodei and Ebenezer. So if I would stop and ask us, who owns the item shel hefker? I was just mafkir my car. Who owns the car? Who is the bialim of the car? So before I read this Rambam and this Ktzos, I thought, who owns the car? Nobody owns the car. Hefker owns the car. But now that the Ktzos just told you, this razzle-dazzle, b'yabedezer Rambam, and it's still considered to be mine. So the answer is, so I still own the car. I have an Issa Chazorah in the car, but I still own the car. So says the Ktzos, that's not going to bode well for a sugya in Masechah Shabbos, that's Kuf Lam and Gimel. Comes the Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos, and discusses the following question. It's a discussion according to an opinion that we don't paskin like, but the discussion is relevant for us, Lamaisa, as well. The Gemara is analyzing the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was the Tana in the beginning of the 19th Perek of Shabbos, who maintained that just as you're allowed to do a bris milah on Shabbos, a milah b'zman is dechah Shabbos, so too you're allowed to do all preparations for the milah on Shabbos as well. You're allowed to cut down trees, to make coals, to melt the metal, to make a knife. You can, milk can dry, the milk can fly. Whatever is necessary for the milah to go on can take place on Shabbos. That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer, machshir milah dechah Shabbos. So we happen to disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. We happen to postulate Rabbi Akiva, and only the mila itself is the Shabbos, not the machshira. But within the worldview of Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara goes one step further. The Gemara says that not only did Rabbi Eliezer say that machshira mila the Shabbos, but machshira any other mitzvah that has to be performed on Shabbos are also the Shabbos. So what are some other examples of machshira, other mitzvah that have to be performed on Shabbos? So let's say a person sits down to the Seder, the first Seder happens to be Friday night, and he comes to the realization, Gavali, he doesn't have matzah. So he's got to bake the matzah. So machshir matzah, dech Shabbos also. Well, let's say he comes, in the olden days, he used to blow a shofar on Shabbos. He realizes on Shabbos, Gavali, he doesn't have a shofar. He can make a shofar on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, whatever is necessary for the mitzvah, if there's a mitzvah sayyim, any mitzvah that has to be performed today, so that mitzvah is going to be dech Shabbos, and the machshirin are going to be dech Shabbos also. So we don't pass like that. We pass it even Mila, which Mila itself, Taka is Deicha Shabbos, Machshir and not Deicha Shabbos. So Kavachim, all the other mitzvahs are for sure not Deicha Shabbos. So we don't accept Rabbi Eliezer's view. But comes the Gemara and says that even within the view of Rabbi Eliezer, Yesh Gvul B'davar. So you reach a certain point where certain mitzvahs are not going to be Deicha Shabbos. Which mitzvahs are not going to be Deicha Shabbos? So the Gemara gives two examples of mitzvahs that are not going to be Deicha Shabbos. The Gemara says Tzitzis is not going to be Deicha Shabbos, and Mezuzah is not going to be Deicha Shabbos. So a guy realizes, it's Shabbos afternoon, he realizes he's wearing a four-cornered beged, and he doesn't have strings on the beged. So no big deal, he can't make Tzitzis, even according to us, of course he can't. But even according to Rabbi Eliezer, says you can do all kind of machshir and mitzvah on Shabbos, so even Rabbi Eliezer agrees you can't make a tzitzis on Shabbos. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees you can't write your klaf and a mezuzah on Shabbos. My high. What's the difference between the tzitzis and the mezuzah on the one hand, and the shofar and the lulav and the sukkah and the matzah, all the other mitzvahs on the other hand? The Gemara says, no. That all the other mitzvahs, there's no way to get around those mitzvahs. You have to do those mitzvahs. You have to eat the matzah, you got to shake the lulav. Yeah, those are mitzvahs that you have to do. But when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis and mezuzah, you don't have to do those mitzvahs on Shabbos. But you don't have to. But I'm wearing the beged. I'm living in the house. The Gemara says, no. Whole of the other lafkiran, you can be mafka the beged. You can declare the beged as hefker. If the beged is hefker, it's not yours. The Torah says, Abba kanfas kesuscha. Only if the beged is kesuscha, only if the beged belongs to you, are you chayv in tzitzis. Only the house belongs to you. So therefore, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no great tzarech to write the mezuzah. Since it's easy to circumvent the chiv, you can create a situation where you're not mechuyav anymore. So therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer concedes adkan v'lo yoseh. So even Rabbi Eliezer's basic shita is machshirim mila doiche, machshirim lulav doiche, machshirim matz. So everything is doiche. But these two mitzvahs, the buck stops here. Hol of yadul hafkira. So you see clearly from the Gemara that if I'm wearing a beged shel hefker, I'm not apart from tzitzis. The Gemara was discussing a libid Rabbi Eliezer. So we don't pass the Rabbi Eliezer. That part doesn't interest us lahalacha. But the yisod that the Gemara is saying is true even for us. The halacha lemais, if a person has a beged shel hefker, he's takan al chayv and tzitzis. The reason is because it's not called ksuscha. Habakarvas ksuscha. So yes, the ktzos. Why is he not chayv and tzitzis? According to what I just said, the Asa Rambam, that the registered owner of an item shel hefker is the original owner, so then why shouldn't I be chayv and tzitzis? It's called kanfas k'suscha. Why shouldn't I be chayv and mezuzah? It's called mezuzah's beisecha. It's still mine. If you go with conventional wisdom that once you mafke something, it's no longer yours. It belongs to Mr. Hefker. You're not the bailim. You transferred ownership to the entity called hefker. So then I understand the Gemara very well, that it's not my baggage, it's not my bayis, so I'm not chayev. But if you hold, like the Ketzais is Chiddush B'das Rambam, that forced us to believe that when you have something shel hefker, it still belongs to me, it's still shali, so then why is the din that I'm potter from tzitzis? What's the favor? I'm potter from tzitzis, I'm potter from mezuzah. Why is that? If the item still belongs to me. So comes the Ketzais and says the answer to this question is really the theme of today's year. Situation of last year. Says the Ketzos, when you have a davar shel hefker, so it falls into the category of what's called shelo ve'eino b'shuso. It belongs to you. In terms of bailus, it's still considered to be yours, but afal b'chein ve'eino b'shuso. It's not considered to be b'shuso anymore. What makes it eino b'shuso? Why is it not called b'shuso? So says the Ketzos, based on the Rambam Ruchus Nedarim. The Rambam says that I'm not allowed to back out. Once I declare it hefker, I'm not allowed to back. I can re-zeich on it, but in terms of backing out from my dibor, I'm not permitted to. That would be a violation of Layachal Devaro. So says the Ketzos, that isser in the Torah of Layachal Devaro, those three magic words of Pashas Matos, is preventing me from having accessibility to my item. It's preventing me from being in control of the item that I was just mafker. So says the Ketzos, what's the difference whether somebody stole something from me and he's holding my hands back, he's preventing me from driving my car? What's the difference whether it's boss of Adam who's preventing me, or it's HaKadosh Baruch who's preventing me? Just as a boss of Adam is preventing me from using my item because he stole it, so I don't have control, I don't have accessibility anymore. So if the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if the Rambam Paskins, if the Torah says, Le'achal Devaro, that I can't use the item, so the Ribbono Shel is at least as chomer as the Gazan, so to speak. The same way the Gazan has the ability to be Mafkir Rishusai, so to the Isra Torah has the ability to Mafkir Rishusu as well. So basically, what is this talus? What is this house? When I'm Mafkir the talus, when I'm Mafkir the house, so it's considered to be Shali the Eino Bishusi, because Eino Bishusi was created by that factor of lack of control. So the Isser Hamutalai, the fact is an Isser Bal Yachel, that creates a lack of control as well. That prevents me from having easy access to my item. That removes my control over the item, and it mainly creates a new category called Shali the Eino Bishusi. Says the Ketzos, the din is, you're only chayiv in mezuzah when it's beis secha. Beis secha means it has to be a full-fledged house. It's got to be shalcha over shuscha. You're only chayiv in tzitzis when the Torah says ksuscha. We thought that the definition of ksuscha and beis secha means, as long as it's shalcha, that's good enough. No, it's not true. It's got to be shalcha over shuscha. In order for something to be called lachem, for the realm of mitzvahs, it's not enough that it's called shalachem. It has to be shalachem uber shuschem. So the definition, as we've seen this theme already many times, there are many, many mitzvahs that revolve around the premise of ownership. Lukachta lachem b'yam arishon, you have to own the luvin esrei. The Torah says the kanfas k'suscha, you have to own the beged that you're putting tzitzis on. Amuzus b'sech, you have to own the bayis, going to many. So anytime the Torah says that there's a din of ownership in terms of being chayv in mitzvahs, so says the Ketzos, we have to define what does ownership mean. Ownership does not mean merely shalcha. Ownership means the full package of ownership, shalcha v'yena b'shuscha. Anything that you don't have the ability to use, by definition, is a chisaron in b'shuscha. Whenever there's a chisaron in b'shuscha, the mail, it's not called lachem for the purposes of shmiras mitzvahs as well. So even according to the Rambam, we can understand that Gemara Masechet Shabbos.
How do you say that the beged of Ryan is not for
because that's mafkir.
But But it's on me.
So you want to know it's a fake hefker. What kind of a funny hefker is that? Yeah, I'm mafker it. Whoever wants to come and take it off me has the right to take it off me. I'm not zoich on it right now. I'm sitting in the house right now, but I'm mafker the house. So if wants to come and kick me out, kick me out. That's
we're,
called.
We're saying that's not prosciutti.
It's a, right because since right because since I'm not allowed to back out from my hefker, since I don't have the ability to back out from my hefker because the Torah says le'achal devaro, that's called the chisaron b'shusi. So of course this chiddush of the k'tzayis that hefker creates a situation of shalova in a b'shuso, so that's already a tremendous chiddush, but that's really the case. Because that only makes sense if you follow the Balamor's definition of Eina B'shuso. If you hold like the Ramban's definition of Eina B'shuso, that what creates Eina B'shuso is not the Isser, is not the lack of accessibility, but rather it's the Kinyan Gezeil of the other person, so then what in the world does that have to do with the Issa Hefker? Issa Hefker could perhaps be compared to Gezeila if you're in the Balamor's model of Gezeila. That's the lack of control creates Eina B'shuso. But according to the Ramban, that's the Kinyan Gezeil that the Gazan has, that's that new din of Heshus Exer Shagozol that creates a change in halacha, change of status in halacha, that the gazan is considered to be the, to a certain degree, the bialim on the item. So what does that have to do? It has nothing to do with anything. It has nothing to do with hefker. It has nothing to do with lo'yachal devaro. It has nothing to do with halachic lack of control. So the k'tzos is clearly going to ikvos that idea of the balamor, that the eker definition of eina b'shuso is really a question of physical control, rather physical slash halachic control, rather than a halachic kinyan gezeilu. The k'tzos has a similar idea that halachic inaccessibility can be used to create an Eina B'shuso in a slightly different context, but a related sugya. There is a big discussion in the Rishonim as to what exactly is the relationship that a person has with something in his Rishus that's also b'hano'ah. Let's say I have Basa B'chala, I have Orla Kiliya Kerem, Shor Niskal, all kind of different items that are also b'hano'ah. So what is considered to be my relationship? Do I own something which is also b'hano'ah or not? So the Mishnayos and the Gemaras give certain limitations as to what I cannot do with something which is also banor. Let's say, for example, the Mishnah says in the Sechberg of Kiddushin, I can't be Makadosh and Isha with something which is also banor. Makadosh, Rubos Becholov, Kerem, Orl, etc. The Kiddushin is not going to be Chal. The Mishnah never explains why the Kiddushin is not going to be Chal. It's unclear what exactly the problem is. So there are some who suggest maybe the reason why the Kiddushin isn't Chal is because it's not really worth anything. It's not worth a Shavu Pruta. So even though I technically own it, she technically owns it, but in terms of Kiddushin, it's not enough just to own the item, it has to have a shavis, it has to have a value to it, and maybe a davar asabano is considered to be a pachos b'shavapruta. If that's the case, then there's a further machlekes acharonim. Let's say I'm a kaddish and isha with bas b'chol, take a cheeseburger, I'm a kaddish with oil, kerem, etc., and it happens to be that she's able to use it. Why is she able to use it? Because she's sick. She's a chayla, she's b'sakana. So she's still lying in the hospital, and the doctor says, this woman needs oil. The only thing that's going to solve our problem, we got to give her an app, got to give her a clementine of orla, got to give her something which is asabana mishum orla. So comes the Mishnah Melech and has a suffix, what's the din? If I'm a kaddish to isha with this apple of orla, would the kedusha be chal? So maybe one can argue that it is a shavu pruta because she could use it now. She's allowed to eat it. Torah says v'chaybim, she's allowed to eat it. So the Mishnah Melech's not sure because even though she's getting a shavu pruta, but I'm not giving a shavu pruta. So mitzidi, it's not called a shavu pruta. So he doesn't know what's the din of shavu pruta. The shavu pruta is that defined based on the chosin is based defined based on the kala. So he creates a whole shayla out of that. But let's say they're both sick, two hospital beds next to each other. They get the same diagnosis, the same prescription. You have to have an apple of oil and you have to have an apple of oil. So he takes the apple of oil and he hands it to and the two Adam in the other beds, they have broken arms. They're okay. They're not suffering from oil problems. So he gives her an apple. So mitzido, it's worth the Sheva Pruta. And mitzido, it's worth the Sheva Pruta. So the Mishnah Melech says, the Kiddushin would be Chal. He says, he's only Mefalpel, maybe, if it's worth it for her, not for him, maybe that's not called Kiddushin Sheva Pruta. But if it's worth Sheva Pruta for both of them, why should that be a problem? So the Avnei Meluim, written by the K'tzais, and Sefer Avin Evan Ezra, the Avnei Meluim. So the Avnei Meluim writes, he thinks the Mishnah Melech is not correct. He says that when you have a Dova, which is also B'hano'ah, so it does. It's not worth a shavu pruta bechlal. Api aloch, it doesn't have any value. There's no shavis to it. The fact that it happens to be the Torah says that you're allowed to use it. So the Torah is giving you a freebie. The Torah is giving you the exception to the rule. You're allowed to use it. He's allowed to use it. She's allowed to use it. But in terms of the cheftza is still called a pachas b'shavu pruta. So the Mishnah Melech seems to be working just in terms of practical. Can I use it? Can I not use it? So if he can use it, she can use it. Everyone can use it. So for them, it's worth a shavu pruta. He says no. Mitam, not mitam the gavra. Mitam the cheftza. The cheftza is Dafka from it, a shame sheva pruta, so the condition won't be chal. Again, so that's all assuming that the problem of the mekanish anisha with the davar osabana is the fact that it's not worth the sheva pruta. But maybe there's a different reason. Maybe the reason why you can't be mekanish anisha with something which is osabana has nothing to do with its value, sheva pruta. Maybe it's based on something totally different. Maybe it's based on the fact that when you have something which is also bano, you never really own it. The Torah says, if it's also bano, how can you own it? Torah's not shaykh, you should own something that you're not permitted to use. So why would one think that that's the pshat? So that idea is borne out a little bit by Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara discusses a case of a shohan niskal. There is a din that if my animal kills somebody, so the animal is chayav misa. So the Edom come, they take the animal to the Bezin, Bezin decides that the animal is chayav misa. So the Gemara says that once the Bezin is gomer dino, once there's a nigmar din in the shohan niskal, so then he takes on all the status, all the characteristics of a shohan niskal. What are the characteristics of a shohan niskal? The Torah says, lo ye'ochlas besara, that you're not allowed to eat the meat of a shohan niskal. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat the meat of a shohan niskal. It's the chenavela. It's thrown off a cliff. How can you even think you're allowed to eat it? What does the term mean in Pashas Mishpat v'lo yachlas b'saro? The Gemara tells us that the Teshuva Peh teaches us that lo yachlas b'saro comes to teach us that even though you never get around to being circled ashore, you will gomer b'dino, the Bezin Paskin that is a shohan niskal, and then the owner realizes, Gevalt, Bezin's about to take my shohar out to be killed, I might as well shecht it myself. If I let it get stoned, I won't be able to eat it. If I shecht it, it'll be kosher. So Zen Emar, lo yachlas b'saro. That once there was a Gemara Din, even though it was subsequently shechted, apidin, it doesn't work. Shechit is not going to be matzah b'achila. It's exeris akos of kol loy achlas b'sar. And then the Gemara says, and how do you know that it's also b'hana? So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim there also. The whole Sukkim, the beginning of second berakh of Psachim and the fourth berakh of Bavakama. The bottom line is that's the din. That's the din in that Torah derived from a series of Psukkim and traditions that whenever you have a nigmar din, whenever they're based in a ready the paskin that the animal is also b'hana, so then shechit is not going to work. Maybe you subsequently shecht it, it's going to be also b'hana. So that's the Mishnah lists off in Kedusha, Makadosh B'Shar Niskal is also Enim Kodeshes. That's a full-fledged, bona fide Davar Asabano. So comes the Gemara B'Kama and Nafim Hey and raises the following question. Let's say the Bezin is about to be Goma B'Din. They haven't yet decided that the Shor is a Shor Niskal, and the owner decides he wants to be Maktish the Shor at that point. So the Gemara says, okay. So Ashla Nigmadino, Hifkisha Mukdash, Hifkir, Hifkir, Matanasa Matana, Mechirasa Mechira, Kozman, there hasn't been a Gemar Din, so it's still, it's not also about not, so belongs to the original Bailam. But Mishan Nigmadino, once the Bezin is gone with the Din, and the Shoah Niskal, so then Machre no Machor, Hefkir no Hefkir, Mukdash no Hektish, and then you can't do anything, then you can't transfer ownership on the Davra Asabana. Once the Gemar Din, that's the moment of truth, that's when it becomes once it's Asabana, then you can't transfer ownership on it anymore. So why not? Where does that din come from? Why should it be that just because it's Asabana, I can't sell it? Why can't I be Makdish? Why can't I be Mafkir it? So you see that a Davar Asabana, there's some kind of a Chisaron of Bailas, there's some kind of limitation on my ownership. It's not just that it's not called the Sheva Pruta. It's that there's some kind of Chisaron in terms of Bailas on something which is Asabana. So the question is, what's the nature of that Chisaron of Bailas? What does that mean that it's not mine? What do the words mean? So there is a Gemara in Masechet Sukkah and Daf Lamed Hei, where the Gemara talks about the possibility of being Yaitse Dalad Minim with something which is also Bahano'ah. So there's a whole sugi about Esuk Shal Orlon and Esuk Shal Iridachas and Shalom Edizara, a whole bunch of different shahs that come up in terms of potentially being Yaitse the mitzvah with something which is also Bahano'ah. So the Gemara gives this reason and that reason, the other reason why it is good. No good. A whole people in the Gemara, what the issues are in terms of a Davar also Bahano'ah. So comes the Ritva on Masechet Sukkah, and says, wait a second. He says, how come the Gemara doesn't raise the most obvious issue that's not called Lachem? So according to some Rishonim, the Gemara does raise that. According to some Rishonim, that's what the Gemara was driving at. But the Ritva seems to say that the Gemara doesn't raise the question of Lachem. The Gemara doesn't disqualify based on the simple reading that's not called Lachem. So the Ritva says the answer is that it is called Lachem, just because also Banu, so why is it not called Lachem? So comes the Ketzos and says, according to that Ritva, that it's the Ketzos quotes it from the Rashba, not from the Ritva, because for many years the Chedushia Ritva on Sukkah were mislabeled. They were known as the Chedushia Rashba. So for 500 years, everyone thought they were learning the Rashba, and then they realized later it was the Ritva. So it is the Ritva. So every once in a while, you find an Achron and ask the Kasha, how could the Rashba say this if the Rashba somewhere else said something else? So the answer is it wasn't the Rashba. So it was all a mistake. But whatever it is. So, but now we know that there was actually the Chedushia Ritva on Masechet Sukkah. So comes the Ketzos and says that if that's the case, that something which is also b'no is still technically called lachem, So then, how come the Gemara says that you can't be mafkari, you can't be machtish, you can't sell the shoniska? What's the problem? So says it tells. The answer is obvious. The answer is it's called lachem, but it's not called bishuschem. It falls in the category of shalov and bishusel. So going back, that we started the sugya 2 weeks ago. Amar b'yechanan gezel v'lo nisyashu abayim. When somebody steals something from me, eino yochel akdisha. The nigzel cannot makdisha. Why? Fisha eino bishusel. In order to transfer ownership in something, to transfer either to a personal transferring in terms of to a hedyo, or to be makdisha, to be mafkir, and any time there's any kind of a transferring, any type of chalois of chayshe mishpat on an item, I have to be in complete control of that item. It has to be shali ve'ena b'shusi. When you have something which is asa b'ana, it's called shalo ve'ena b'shuso. Why is it ena b'shuso? It's asa b'ana, azma. Why is it ena b'shuso? So the Ketzel says, well, you can't control it. You can't use it. The Torah is tying your hands. Similar to what the Ketzel said by hefker. When you mafke something, it's called lo yachal devaro. The Torah is tying your hands. So whenever the Torah is tying your hands from using an item the way you would like to, that's by definition called ena b'shuso. So anything that's ena b'shuso, it can be shalo from day till tomorrow. Hefker is also shalo, the ena b'shuso. Dabar also b'ana is shalo, the ena b'shuso. Something that was stolen from me is shali, the ena b'shuso. We spoke about 2 weeks ago. If something is an aveda, if something is lost, so it's shali, it's still mine. I wasn't misyash, it's still shali, but it's ena b'shuso. Anytime you have an item that's not under your direct control, you're not the one calling the shots, that's automatically labeled as a shalai ve'ena b'shuso, and shalai ve'ena b'shuso, ena yachal haktish, ena yachal hafke, ena yachal itil matone, ena yachal limkor, etc. You can't do any type of a change in ownership on something which is shalai ve'ena b'shuso. So once again, this tells that a dover asa b'noah is considered to be in the category of shalai ve'ena b'shuso. That's only the Ketzel's the Shitasa. That's because the Ketzel's is the big believer of the Balamor. Because the Ketzel's claims the Balamor, that's the Emes, that's the real Yisrael. Not like the Ramban. According to the Ramban, that what creates in a b'shuso is the kidney gazela shabo. What does that do with Dover Asabano? There's no kidney gazela. There's no gazlan by Dover Asabano. So the fact that the Ketzel's is extrapolating from gazela to cases of Bal Yachel, the cases of Orlan, Bos Bechol, Kerem, cases which have published nothing to do with the world of Gezela, you see that the Ketzel's understood that the real category of Eda B'shuso is created by a lack of control. So according to what we're saying, this Chiddush of Ketzel's, that Chiddush of Yerim Chiddush of Ketzel's, is all dependent upon the Balamor and the Rabban. It doesn't bode so well. I mean, the Ramban was quite a player. We don't want to make all our Shtichot Torahs against the Ramban. So the answer is, you have to go back to where we started the Sugya of Ena B'shuso, where we first introduced the Balamor and the Ramban, and see, did we really present it 100% accurately? So if you remember, it was the Machlekes, the Balamor and the Ramban, the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Bava Kamma, where the Balamor says that, when do we say Gezel is Ena B'shuso? That's when the person hasn't been willing to return it. But if the person calls up and says, I'm willing to return it, so then it's all over. Then Ena B'shuso was terminated, and now I can be Makdish. Just the mere fact he gave me a call, he's willing, he said, come pick it up whenever you want. That's called Bishusa. So the Ramban disagreed. The Ramban says, no, what are you talking about? Just because he says he's going to return it, Adayin Gezeili Biyada. It's still stolen in his hands. So what did that magic words mean, Adayin Gezeili Biyada? What do those words mean? So we presented 2 weeks ago in the name of the Divya Cheskel, the Rashiva from Slavotka, that the Ramban is arguing fundamentally with the Balamor. The Balamor defined Ena B'shuso as being physical control, and the Ramban says that's fundamentally incorrect. But it's not physical control that's Kiveya, rather it's halachic kinyan gezela. It's the fact that the Gazlan has a kinyan gezela on it, that's what creates Ena B'shuso. It has nothing to do with physical control, nothing to do with accessibility. It's halachic gezela that changes that creates the status of Ena B'shuso. That's how we presented it. It wasn't awesome. That's how they said in Slavotka. That's how they learned in all the yeshivas for the last 100 years that the Ramban disagrees with the Balamor conceptually. The Balamor is a control person and the Ramban is a halachic kinyan gezeila person. But notwithstanding what they say in Slavotka, the Ketzel's lived before Slavotka existed, it appears that the Ketzel's didn't learn the Ramban that way. The Ketzel's doesn't even quote the Ramban. He's not in misyachis to the fact that the Ramban disagrees with the Balamor. So the answer is, I think the Ketzel's was partial. The Ketzel's learned that the machlokes Balamor and the Ramban was not so fundamental, was not so radical, was not so lumdish. Everybody agrees Ena B'shuso was a question of control. The machlokes Balamor and the Ramban is, where do you draw the line? What's called gaining control again? So the Balamor was, believe this Gazla, Balamor is looking down the Chaschus, the guy calls you an Erev Yom Kippur, he wants to return it. So the Balamor says, go Zolzain, as long as the Gazla has indicated he wants to return it, that's good enough to give you back control. And the Ramban says, what are you talking about? The Ramban says, come on, the Gazla, he ripped off your property last week, and now just because he gives you a call and says, come pick it up, that's enough. And Dain Gezli be Yada, he's still a Gazlan. He hasn't relinquished his rightful yet. He's not really willing to give it back to you. You'll see, you'll go and pick it up, we'll tell you to come back next week. He's never really going to give it back to you. The only time we could say with certainty that he's willing to give you back control is if he gives it back to you. It's a Dain Gezli be Yada. The Divri Chesnum Slobodka, they read the words, a Dain Gezli be Yada, with such a lumdish way that it must be the guys as a kid in Gazela, it's a kid in Gazela, it's Mafkir, the end of Rishu, Garnish. Says the Ktsais, the Machlekes of Balmon and the Ramban is not a qualitative Machlekes, it's a quantitative Machlekes. Everybody agrees that the Ein B'Shusu is defined by lack of control. But the question is, where do you draw that line? At what point do you say we've reached the point of no longer being out of control? According to the Balamor, a call from the Gazlan is enough. According to the Ramban, you have to actually return it. But even the Ramban, according to this understanding of the text, even the Ramban agreed with the Balamor's basic premise that Ein B'Shusu has nothing to do with halacha kidding Gazela. Kidding Gazela is too lumdish for us today. We're talking about simple, plain accessibility control issues. That was the whole machlokes Balamor and the Ramban. If that's the case, then we're back in business. Then any time we meet those criteria, any time we meet that demarcation, that it's taka ain't a b'shuso, because it's not in control, even though there's no kidding gazelle, I don't need kidding gazelle to define control. What defines ain't a b'shuso is the fact that it's not in my control. So what else meets the criteria of being not in my control? So I give a lot of examples. If the Torah says, I'm not allowed to use this item, it's a davar also b'no, it's not in my control. If the Torah says that I'm not allowed to back out from the hefka because of the yisur of le'achal devaro, that's not in my control. That's also considered to be eino b'shusi. So a kopanim, just to summarize what we have in terms of this fundamental sugya of shalovi eino b'shuso, this chiddush that the Gemara has in Bava Kamma, that you can have something that I own, but yet I still can't transfer ownership on, because it's a new category called eino b'shuso. So we had a machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, does that new category even exist? Rish Lakish wouldn't have been a shiur for the last 2 weeks. He says, there's no such thing. Eino b'shuso. I never heard of such a thing. No such concept. And Rabbi Yochanan was mechadish this. So the Gemara explains in Bava Kamma that it wasn't really Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's original machlekes. They were restating a machlekes hundreds of years old. That the machlekes, you have this very often in the Gemara, the Gemara has a machlekes at Meroim. They're not the first ones to have the machlekes. The machlekes was machlekes at Tanoim already. So the Gemara says, Befeirush, this machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, was old as the hills. The Tanoim, hundreds of years earlier, had already had this machlekes. Is there a category called Eino B'Shuso or not? So we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan at those Tanoim, that there is a category called Eino B'Shuso. So we had a machlekes Balamor and the Ramban. At what point do you say it's Eino B'Shuso? At what point does that change? So the Balamor said it changes once he's willing to return it, and the Ramban said it's not true. So how to understand that machlekes? So the machlekes the Vicheskel and Lichtos as to what exactly is the Ramban's point of departure from the Balamor. Is the Ramban assuming that halachically Eino B'Shuso needs Kinyan Gezela? Or is the Ramban agree fundamentally, conceptually to the Balamor? He's just arguing in terms of gradation. At what point do you regain access again? If you assume, like the Balamor, and if you assume even the Ramban bought into the Balamor, that's really a question of control, so then you have a few possible examples where control can also be removed, even though there's no gazela. You don't need a formal gazela to remove control. The Torah can tie your hands from use of the item. So we had one example, is the Rambam, that the Rambam says that a davar shel hefker is still yours, but the Tzitzis claims it's shalovi eino b'shuso. That's why you part from tzitzis and mezuzah, etc. It's shalovi eino b'shuso. And the other example is something which is also b'ano, based on that ritva, mesecha sukkah, that a davar also b'ano is still shalov, albeit it's shalovi eino b'shuso. So this theme that the Tzitzis develops throughout the Sefer, that you can have a shalovi eino b'shuso based on lack of halachic control, even though there's no kinyan gezeila shebo, according to the Balamor, for sure that's true. And according to what we're suggesting now, that maybe even the Ramban would concede to that idea. So hopefully, next week we'll try to introduce another concept of baila, some other dimensions of who's considered to be the owner in any particular item. But I think we have hopefully 2 more weeks. Okay, until I go to Eretz Yisrael. So I think we should still be able to have 2 more Sundays.